This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 270. Wait, 297. I don't know what happened just then. Of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. Went back in time there a little bit.
I don't know what happened there at all.
That's like 27 episodes. That's like half a year. Damn, I don't want to go back in time a half a year.
Yeah, I don't want to go back in time a half a year either. That's, no.
Yeah, no.
Nope.
Moving forward.
Nope. So anyways, how's it going?
Going good. How's it going for you?
Oh, you know, good.
Excellent.
Watch some shows and stuff. Did you watch some shows and stuff?
I watched some shows and stuff. I watched a movie that I had already seen. And there was a lot of trailers and news this week. I felt like we were constantly sharing stuff back and forth.
I did not watch any movies this week.
Oh, wow. That's weird for you. I'm betting that as we get into this, you're going to be like, oh, wait, I did watch, you know, something.
No, I really didn't because, let's see, we recorded last week on Monday. I ended up having to go in at like 3 in the morning. 2 days last week, and I had to stay over late on Wednesday to like 6:30 at night, and I watched wrestling that night, and then I went to wrestling on Saturday, and then Friday. Oh, yeah, I did watch a movie. You're right.
I knew it.
We watched a movie. Yeah, we watched an old Disney movie.
Excellent.
Yeah, you've well played, sir.
Thank you.
Well played. But, I didn't watch as much as I thought I would.
I didn't either. I kept feeling like I was forgetting something, and I'd, like, go back over my notes, and I'm like, no. I even went a little bit above and beyond. I finished out The Witcher.
Yeah, I did, too.
Okay, because I had known that the week before you had forgotten to watch it, and so I didn't know if you were just going to watch those two or if you were going to buzz through all of it.
No, I did. I did watch The Witcher.
You know what I need to check on? Continue. I'll check on this while you're continuing.
I did not watch Peacemaker because I was just too busy with work and life and other things. I did show my 6-year-old the opening credits.
Excellent.
Only the opening credits because I knew he would appreciate it. And what happened is exactly what I thought would happen. He thought it was cool. My wife thought it was dumb. I couldn't have predicted that any better.
Okay, I thought we were missing it. Today is the 24th, Monday the 24th, Wednesday the 26th, episode 1 of season 2 of Resident Alien.
I actually made a point to go look to see if that was on.
Yeah.
And it was not. So, because I wanted to make sure I didn't want to miss that.
Okay, I'm going to read this out loud to you because as I was trying to look that up, I saw this article that says how Alan Tudyk helped create the Peacemaker dance sequence.
You told me something about that, I think, last week.
It says, did you really think we were done talking about how ridiculously awesome, blah, blah, blah. Sat down to an interview, the Carissa Barton, who choreographed it. She's also married to one of the most universally beloved genre actors of the biz, Alan Tudyk. Oh, I didn't know that. So the woman who choreographed that opening dance move is Alan Tudyk's wife.
Yep.
Tudyk is just as wonderful off screen in the age of COVID, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't possible to be in person as much as one normally would. So she showed her progress to Gunn by recording videos of the choreography as she designed it. So basically he did the dances and she videoed it. And
I would love to see those.
I'm going to send you the article because I could see at least one Twitter video on here. So that'll be fun for after the. Yeah. That's great. I didn't realize that. What a fun little how do you do?
Well, I'm a big fan of Alan Tudyk.
As am I.
And yeah, I'm a big fan of Alan Tudyk. So I definitely, if you go on to the YouTube, you can see all kinds of behind the scenes. They have a bunch of behind the scenes videos that HBO Max posted or DC posted, showing the behind the choreograph the dance numbers. Yes, them practicing it and everything. Everyone's got masks on and nice. it just looks cool.
So I promise this will come around. So this weekend I was doing my online D&D group game on Sunday. And we were talking about the next game that we're going to do. So, you know, this campaign, when it winds up, we've got the next campaign planned out. And, you know, this is my character, blah, blah, blah. And one of the guys is like, yeah, I'm going to go Bard. I've never really done a Bard. So I think I'll just go straight up Bard, like the normal Bardly type, you know. And everyone was like, what, horny? And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know, I want him to have a gambling problem, like a really bad gambling problem. And I was like, oh, so you're basically going to be Chaucer from A Knight's Tale. And he's like, yes, exactly. That's what my character is going to be. And I was like, that's fucking perfect. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah. And Ivy says, oh, I've never seen A Knight's Tale. I'm like, how have you never seen A Knight's Tale? Like, the first time I've ever seen Alan Tudyk in anything. And fucking, God, who was Chaucer? Vision?
Yep, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And, Heath Ledger's
in it.
Heath Ledger, Shannon Sossaman. I was like, you are missing out by not having seen A Knight's Tale. And then I just started fawning all over Alan Tudyk, and everybody was like, Alan Tudyk's the greatest. And yeah. Oh, fucking A Knight's Tale, dude. Paul Bettany. There we go.
My problem with A Knight's Tale is the featurette video was on my Real Players set, and I got very tired of listening to Heath Ledger and company talk about the movie, talk about then, you know, the dance scene with David Bowie, Golden Years kicks on, Golden Years, mm-hmm. You know, and I just got so tired of that video and maybe not like the movie.
I can understand that. There are a lot of movies. It's like this last weekend we were talking about movies and Julie was like, oh, Runaway Bride. Have you seen it? And I said, no, I don't have to see it because it was on the Real Players thing. And I got to see the same trailer for it like 30 times an hour, 8 hours a day for weeks at a time. So, no, I won't watch Runaway Bride.
That was me with Traffic. And yeah. I asked him, what would happen if I was 5 or 6 months pregnant? Get out of the car and shoot him in the head. Yeah, I didn't want to watch that movie because of that. Uh-huh. I hated Catherine Zeta-Jones because of that.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
I could see that.
So. And then there's songs that, like, I will say this, though. There are some songs that I will hear that remind me of working at Movie Gallery on the Real Players. Songs that I don't think I ever hear. There's a Nelly Furtado song. There's a couple Man-Eater? Of Nelly Furtado songs, huh?
Maneater?
No. Nelly Furtado. Did she do a version of Maneater?
I believe she did.
Oh no, not that one. There was a couple of Destiny's Child songs that were on there, okay. But mostly. Nelly Furtado, hold on. Blue Cantrell. And okay. There's a Mary J. Blige song on there as well that they played that I kind of liked. Like that remind. Well, I just got, you know, you, even if you don't like it, you hear it over and over and over again.
Yes.
So, let's see here. Oh, I'm Like a Bird.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was one of them. But there was another one. There was another one on that Real Players. Turn Off the Light.
Oh, I gotcha.
That was the one that was on there the most. So, yep.
Nice. Yeah, I can't remember any of the music per se, but I do specifically remember one interview where they were talking to Jim Carrey for one of his movies, and the interview guy was like, you know, so how much are you worth? And Jim Carrey's like, that is a horribly inappropriate question. I'm not going to answer it. Next.
Oh my God, that is a horribly inappropriate question.
The guy's like, okay, moving on.
Yeah, no, that is a very horribly inappropriate question.
Yeah, wow. Who asks that?
Wow.
You gonna ask me for a loan next, buddy? Come on.
Dang. Anyhow, so, well.
Some shows that you watched this week.
I watched a new show. I watched some other shows. The Conners was good. I like it. Again, if you like the Roseanne, you like it. I watched the third episode of Abbott Elementary. Technically, I mean, I turned it on and then I woke up when it was over. And then I had missed, like, I went to go put on the last few minutes of the Conners because I missed that. And it was like 5 minutes. So I finished that. And then Kate just goes, I cannot sit here while you watch Abbott Elementary again. And I was like, oh, was that good? She's like, yeah, I just can't. I can't sit through that episode again. So no. I haven't watched it yet. So I don't know.
Oh, I was going to ask you why.
I just can't sit through that again. I was like, okay, no problem.
Wow.
I have been watching. There was an ESPN Plus original documentary. And Cousin Paul shared his login with me. And so I've watched the first five parts of Man in the Arena. It's about Tom Brady. It's very good, actually. It's very, very good.
He's a golfer?
No, he plays football.
Oh.
He was the quarterback for the Patriots for 20 years. And then he just went to the Buccaneers a couple years ago.
20 years?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. He won a Super Bowl with the Bucs. He's got 7 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, and Seth MacFarlane loves putting him in his movies.
Yep, and he's been to 10 Super Bowls. I think the next
dude,
closest
I know guys
player
have been
is,
to every Super Bowl. So
no, he's played in 10 Super Bowls.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone that's close that has been.
So he plays.
He's been in more Super Bowls than most than some teams.
Nice.
Tom Brady's got 10. Steven Gotkowski's got 6. Mike Lotish has got 6. So there's a couple guys got 6. A couple guys got 5. More than a couple guys. There's a lot of people that have 5. 5 seems to be a very popular number for people for Super Bowl appearances. And then you know, a guy's got 6, and then Brady's got 10. So, yeah. Yep. And he's got 7 wins. There's no team that has 7 Super Bowl wins. He has 7.
Wow.
6 with the Patriots, 1 with the 1 with the Patriots. 6 with the Patriots, 1 with the Bucks.
Sounds impressive.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so they did a 10-part documentary. The Patriots have 6 wins. The 49ers and the Cowboys each have 5. Packers have 4. And Tom Brady himself has 7. But anyhow, they did a 10-part documentary called Man in the Arena. Each episode is just about an hour long. And it breaks down like season. Of him playing or two seasons, a season or two sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's actually very well done. And they talk to him and they talk to, it's like, you know, you always have the talking heads in documentaries. Well, each episode they talk to a specific people. Like this last one was Wes Welker and his wife and an offensive coordinator that was on the team. But they weren't. They won't be on. Maybe his wife will be, but the rest of them won't be on any other episodes.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So you're not listening to like 10 episodes of 50 guys talking about him every episode or talking about the season or the team or whatever. It's
Which it's, can get very annoying.
Yeah. So it's actually so it mixes it up a little bit. So it's always him. And then he has a different cast, if you will, of two or three supporting people that he played with that season that are on the show to talk about that season. And then like sometimes it's they talk to people like Michael Strahan, who played for the Giants. The first year that the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they talked to him on that episode as well to tell like the Giants point of view or whatever. So it's actually extremely well done.
Cool. It's
extremely well done. Yeah. So I've been watching that kind of here and there. I did watch a new show then other than, like I said, I didn't watch Peacemaker. I watched our regular stuff. What about you?
I watched a new show and just our regular stuff. I did watch Peacemaker. It was a good episode. I really enjoy I saw somebody had written something that said that he loved. I only read the first part, but he said that he loved Suicide Squad. It was like his favorite movie of that year. Mm-hmm. And that he had seen the previews for Peacemaker. He had zero interest in it whatsoever. But then when he watched it, he loved it. And that's how I'm feeling as well. Like, I really went into this thinking, nope, this is going to be a pass. And it's gold. Like, I really enjoy the hell out of it.
There's a couple scenes that, like, when I watch them, I'm not real keen on them.
Such as?
Well, when we first meet Vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
the, in the whole window. You're going to try to look at my dick thing? Or you're going to show me your dick?
Yes.
I could see that.
That I found just to be very annoying, and that whole scene was very excessively long.
It was very drawn out.
Yeah.
Like, that was Family Guy level drawn out.
Yeah. Yes, it really was. But it wasn't like, I didn't even have like a big laugh, like a big laugh payoff from it or anything.
Right. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Nope, I get that.
Oh, tell us about Witcher.
Well, we had to go through four episodes of Witcher to catch up because last week you had forgotten to watch it. So we had two there. And then this week we had the other two. So we both ended up watching all four. Did you try, like I had said, putting it on 1.5 speed?
I did not.
Okay. I did, and it was good. It actually, like, if you had the subtitles on, it makes it a little easier until you get used to it, because when it first hits you, it's really fast. It's but it once you get used to it, it's actually really, for me at least, it's really pleasant. Like, it moves things right along. Everything seems just slightly sped up. It's not terrible. It's not like 2x would be bad. It would be almost like, it wouldn't be the chipmunks, but it would be a little too fast.
Okay.
So basically, these four episodes, we got a lot more of the political intrigue, which isn't necessarily its strong suit. Like, I feel like The Witcher straddles too many lines.
Let me ask you a summation real quick.
Sure.
After finishing this season,
yeah,
does it leave you excited for the next season? Or do you think, man, they really lost a step in this season?
Neither. I don't think that they lost a step, but I also feel like it could be concluded right here. Like, I think that they reached an ending point. And I know that they set it all up. Somebody would say, well, wait a minute. Everything was a setup for the next season. Like, you know, she gets her magic back and, you know, we find out who's been pulling the strings and blah, blah, blah. No, I think that, like, it could end right here and it would be good. But I still did like the season. Like I was saying, though, like, I feel that they're trying to straddle two different genres. They want the political intrigue, but then they also want the hoodoo, witchcraft, swords and sorcery kind of thing. And by doing both, they're not doing either one very strongly. Like, if I was to do this show myself, I would focus entirely on The Witcher. I would focus entirely on the swords and sorcery, the monster hunting, the lore behind the monsters, where they come from. That's what was fun in the first season. That's what should have been fun in the second season, is finding out, like, why is this monster like this? Where does it come from? Not just, oh, it snuck in. Now we have to kill it. Okay, now let's move on to the next thing. No, give us the whole story behind it. That was half the fun of the games, was learning that, you know, a banshee wasn't just a banshee, you know, finding out that she had been the lover of this guy. He was married and she threatened to go to his wife, so he put a noose around her neck and threw her down a well, and she died down there, a scorned lover, and came back to haunt the countryside and take her revenge. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I would want. Not the political intrigue of, where are we going to put the elves? What's going on with the elves? The Mages Council is broken up because people, you know, these people like this and these people like this. Also, an entire season to get us to exactly where I knew they were going to be with Yennefer. Yawn. Like, they took the entire season. They're like, look, she has no magic. Oh, she has no magic. She's going to have to deal with it. What's she going to do? Oh, she's going to betray him. Big surprise. Oh, she gets done betraying him and regrets it instantly. Big surprise. Oh, she makes a sacrifice. Big surprise. Oh, she gets it back. Big surprise.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts.
I'm kind of right there with you. Like, realistically, I kind of struggled to watch this season. I didn't feel like this season was good as the last season. I actually was a little bit I felt like some of the episodes could have been sped up. Like, you know, I'm going even all the way back to I'm going to call it the Beauty and the Beast episode, where we have, like, the banshee type character, whatever, you know, the Beauty and the Beast episode, where they kill her, and then his buddies, the curse is lifted. Then it's like, I felt like most of the stories in this season were dragged out longer than they needed to be. I felt like that episode could have been cut in half and we still would have gotten the emphasis of what was going on or the importance of it. I thought Yennefer's whole plot and storyline was so just telegraphed, like you were just saying, that when it plays out at the end, it's like, okay, yep, this isn't a real surprise.
Yeah, even Geralt didn't seem surprised. He was just like, I can't forgive you. And she's like, I made the right choice in the end. He's like, yep, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he's nonplussed by it. He's just like, yep, whatever. Yep. We all saw this coming.
I thought they killed way too many babies. I thought they killed way too many people in their sleep. I had a lot of issues with this season, and I thought this season actually did take a back step from how good the first season was. And it made me not really care about the show. And not excited at all for a third season, nor would I watch a third season.
The more I described it, like, my initial statement was that, you know, I was okay with it. I was kind of neutral. But the more I talked about it, the more I think about it. No, I think that it definitely was worse than the first season. And I do think, even though the first season had that whole issue with the two timelines, like, I think that the second season really lost a lot because of the fact that it didn't know what it wanted to be. There was too many scenes of political intrigue.
Yeah.
And I don't care about that stuff, you know? And there are probably some people who do. But again, you know, Game of Thrones, when it was doing it, had season upon season upon season to build this stuff up. And it, you know, we could watch an entire episode that was just the musings of one kingdom going after another. And it was cool. This one
they did it well.
Yeah, this one, they're not doing it well. It's not done well enough. And you have the the mix in where it could be so good. They really detracted from the hunts this time. And maybe next season, you know, we got that glimpse in the end of this season of the Great Hunt. The Great Hunt is coming, or the Wild Hunt, sorry. The Wild Hunt is coming, yeah. And they're going to claim Ciri. Everyone's trying to claim Ciri. So perhaps there'll be more of it next season, but I don't even think that there will be, because I think it's going to, again, lean more into the political, because that's easier on the budget. It's easier on the stunt coordinators, and it's easier to film during COVID. You know, I'm not making excuses for them, but I will say that it's probably a lot easier to film some of these, you know, less action filled set pieces during a COVID pandemic than it is to do the big monster battles and the CGI transition and such.
Yeah, you're right. It probably is a lot easier to film it in during COVID times.
Yeah.
It just did a lot to make me not want to watch the show. I don't care about the socioeconomic classes of humans, witchers, dwarves, elves. You know what I mean? Like, which they did kind of focus a lot on in this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But
I'm almost grateful to be done with it.
I can see that.
Quite frankly. All right. Now, I cannot, and here's the thing, I cannot remember if I watched Ghost this week or not. I feel like we did watch Ghost.
It was called The Vault.
We did not watch it. Damn it, we could have watched it today.
Okay. I think this was the last one of the season, because it was episode 13. I didn't see any others listed in, what's its face? Oh, IMDb.
All right. Well, that's on me. We will watch it.
I look forward to talking to you about that one.
We did watch a new show.
Okay. I think it's the same one I watched.
How I Met Your Father.
Yep.
We watched the first two episodes.
Yep.
As did we. Put out there. What did you think? One word answer. What did you think?
Eh. What did you think? One word answer.
Meh.
Yeah.
I liked, all right, so the setup was interesting. We meet Hilary Duff. We meet Sophie, you know, the one who Kim Cattrall is playing, older version of her. It takes place in 2022, which is interesting. And it's about how she met their father. And we meet three potential suitors that it could be. At least that's what they imply, you mm-hmm. know. Unlike How I Met Your Mother, where we didn't meet the mother until forever, but we meet three potential suitors.
Well, it's not just three potential suitors. She literally says that was the night that I met your father.
Right. So she of these. But here's the thing. He could have been the waiter at the restaurant, the bar they went to. True. You know what I mean? But yep. There's three main male characters that we meet. It's the three men, two women mix. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Which is similar to How I Met Your Mother. I don't dislike any of the characters so far.
You're one up on me then.
Oh, which one do you dislike?
The sister.
Okay. Why? Oh, so no, actually there is six. There's six characters, three guys, three girls. That's right.
Yep.
There is six characters. Yep. The lesbian sister who just got broken up or something?
Yeah, she's just too over the top. It's too much. It's yep. too campy. It's too sitcom-y.
What did you think of Valentina?
Valentina's okay. Again, if we take out the fact that most of them are suffering from the fact that this is a sitcom and they're kind of written weirdly, Valentina's not bad for what she is. You know, she's already showing the potential for character growth,
yeah.
Despite the fact that she had one of the worst lines in the whole thing that made me want to smack her, which was when she said, when guys tell you what they want and or when you tell a guy what you want and he does it, then when he tells you what he wants, you have to do it. And I don't want to do that. I just want to do what I want to do every day, all the time.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I was like, fuck you, bitch.
Basically, yeah, I felt the same way. So in my opinion, with these characters that we have on the show, I think they used the same opening credit song. That's How I Met Your Mother. It's just a different version of it, but it's the same thing.
Yep.
I feel like they're trying to make it too much like How I Met Your Mother, but who captured magic in a bottle. And I think they're trying to force it here instead of having a natural progression.
Like the apartment at the end of the first episode.
Well, that was neat. That was actually neat. Like, oh, it's a cool apartment. Yeah, we got it from this old couple. And
who posted it on the Wesleyan alumni site, and they even agreed to leave the swords here.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Old couple, Marshall and Lily were not old in 2022 or 2021 when they got the apartment.
No.
You know?
They probably would have been like...
Right.
Well, 50, when did...
50?
Maybe, yeah.
Because this takes place in 2022.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and How I Met Your Mother, which didn't like it take place in 2030 when they were talking to him. But anyways, that was on from 2005 to 2014. So even if they were in their 40s when it ended, they'd only be in their 50s then, per se.
Per se.
Per se. Yeah, 2030 was the year that Ted was sitting there talking to them, telling about how he met his their mother. So,
and that's when we saw that like Marshall was bald and Lily looked like Nancy Reagan for some reason.
But anyhow, we watched the first two episodes. Of course, we get an introduction to all the characters in the first episode, and then in the second episode, we have like. Hillary Duff's character Sophie is longing after her long distance relationship guy that she had just met on Tinder, and they send each other selfies with people that kind of look like Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Hijinks, club, kicked out, et cetera, club FOMO.
This is one of those shows. For me, that it's entertaining, but if they canceled it tomorrow, I really wouldn't shed a tear.
Yep.
I don't have any kind of emotional stake in it right now. Did find it interesting that the bar that the guy is revamping is not the one. It's not McLaren's.
Yeah, it's not the bar that of the apartment they live over.
Right.
Yeah, because we were kind of hoping they'd go to McLaren's, actually, seeing how they had the apartment, and they'd have, like, the same bartender.
Right.
So he'd look older. Not much older.
So, it's definitely called How I Met Your Father, and she says over and over again, this is how I met your father. That's the night that I met your father, and they flash to the four different guys. Ian, the long-distance guy, and then the three other buds. One of whom just got engaged to his girlfriend in the first episode. One of them is dating Valentina and moved in with them. And now by the second episode is going to move out, but then continue dating her. I feel like they're setting them up to be like the Marshall and Lily. And then the one who seems to be the surefire win, you know, he's even got the same comfort song as her. And, you know, seems like the traditional sad sack type.
Mm-hmm.
So they set it up. They pan the camera to all four of them when she says, you know, that was the night that I met your father. Then in the second episode, the kid's like, you know, so you met dad. How long before you got together? She's like, oh, it was a long road. I got together with a lot of guys before him. And he's like, we could just skip to the end. And she's like, no, you need to know all about it. So I find it interesting that so in How I Met Your Mother, we saw the kids sitting on the couch and Ted was talking to them. You know, let me tell you the story about How I Met Your Mother, blah, 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 blah. But we never saw
it.
Yes. And we never saw old Ted. He just kind of was off camera. Now the role is reversed. The kid is off camera and Kim Cattrall is sitting on the couch as the older mother.
Which they could actually do it the other way around because the kid, you know, depending on how many seasons this is, it's not like the original show where he's talking to his 13-year-old and by the end of the show, if it was the same kid, he'd be 40.
No, or, you know, can't do 20s. It. You know why they can't do it?
Why?
Because they introduced us to four guys, and two of them are of a different nationality.
Oh, that's right.
So they don't
want to
show us the ethnicity of the kid, because then we'd all be like, oh, that's the dad.
Yep. You valid point. Wait, nice catch, John.
Thanks.
Nice catch.
I was like, why are we seeing them all? Oh, because it could be any one of these guys, and they don't want to give it away. So that'll be interesting. So yeah, it's an okay show. I think it was a TikTok that actually talked about somebody who worked in the industry, and somebody had asked, you know, why do we still have laugh tracks? And there was even an article the other day that said, I watched How I Met Your Father. Why do we still have laugh tracks in sitcoms? And this person's an industry insider. And she was like, I'll tell you exactly why. They did focus group testing on a sitcom, and I can't remember which one she said it was, but basically they played an episode of it, brought a group in, had them sit there, watch the episode. They were like, yeah, it was okay. It was all right. Brought another group in with the same demographic, same everything, and they put a laugh track on there. And at the end, everyone was like, oh, I really liked that show. It was funny. Oh, it was so great. Just by having the laugh track on there, it made people find it funnier, enjoy it more, etc. Which it seems the opposite, because I hear a laugh track and I'm like, oh my God, I hate this. But apparently having that there keyed something in their brain that told them, this is good, this is funny, you'll enjoy this.
At this point, I'm so used to the laugh track, it would be weird if there wasn't one.
Right? I have to agree.
And also, haven't they been using the same laugh track for like 40 years?
I think so, yeah.
It always sounds the same.
Yeah, it always sounds like the exact same people.
So are you going to keep watching?
I think so. For now. It's not giving me a reason not to watch it. How about you?
Yes. Here's my main reason why. I can watch it in front of Wesley.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, because realistically, like, that's a big issue is, mm-hmm. You know, he's 6. He's going to be 7 soon. I can't watch Peacemaker in front of him, for crying out loud.
Right.
And it seems like all the shows I want to watch nowadays, I can't watch in front of him. So, that's like, I can watch How I Met Your Mother. I can watch Man in the Arena. I can watch How I Met Your Father. You know, even like, that's one of the reasons why I started watching Abbott Elementary, because just to have something to watch. I mean, I could pull a Kate and like, she's just rewatched Gilmore Girls again. So I did watch a ton of that. And season finale can still get to you, I tell you what. But that's kind of why I started watching like Abbott Elementary, and I can watch This Is Us in front of them, Cobra Kai, even The Rookie, The Conners, Ghost. Like, I can feel comfortable watching all that stuff, but those are a finite amount of shows.
So. Yeah, I feel like you have a classification of Wesley shows.
Yep. Can I watch this in front of Wesley?
Yeah, that's cute. I just saw a thing pop up that said that they got the cast of Ghost to do a Valentine's promo. They were like, get everybody together. We're going to do a Valentine's promo. And they put them all there. They got the boom mics in and everything like that. And they were like, okay, just look at the camera and tell everybody, catch us next fall, because we just got picked up for season 2. And they all lost
awesome.
Their minds. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I really love the husband. On this show, he's hilarious. I love just like, and I know they write his lines for him, but his delivery of them are fantastic. Like,
uh-huh.
Now explain it to all the ghosts that are in the room with us. And I love how it shows him nobody, and then it cuts to her, and like she sees them all. I like how they do that.
Yes.
So.
Yep. What'd you think of Cobra Kai this week?
Well. I think Terry Silver, is actually a good addition. He is trying to make amends for how he acted, and don't you think?
Yes.
In part 3.
Yeah.
So far, like he's trying to make it more about bringing up Cobra Kai, less about the kids' little fighting war. Mm-hmm. I kind of hate that they're doing the petty. Oh, Johnny's jealous of. Daniel for hanging out with Miguel and becoming his sensei and helping him like fix cars and drive. And he takes him to dinner and, you know, some fancy dinner, and Johnny can only do like cheap dinner and
Manwich
with beef jerky added to it and everything. And then like he has like, and then they had to have Johnny have dick problems in this episode. Can't get it up. And she's like, I'm a nurse. I have access to like the blue pill. And he's like, no, I'm manly. Like, I just like, so honestly, this episode, half of it really annoyed me.
Yes. Yeah. Johnny seems to, he's like takes a step forward and then two steps backwards.
Yeah.
In these episodes, like he just can't seem to let go of the jealousy, the petty rivalry. I did like the slight throwback when they did the whole drive-in thing, and Miguel's like, yeah, meet us in a half an hour on the baseball diamond, and the sprinklers went off, and Johnny's like, so what, you hosed them down and then ran away, which of course was, you know, a throwback to Daniel doing that to him in the bathroom at the dance. So I like those touches.
I did like that.
But you're right. Like, he's just, he's so jealous because, you know, Daniel comes in. He's like, no, that's fine. You found a non-violent way to defuse the situation and, you know, get over it. And then at the same time, we've got Sam, who's turned into a complete little bitch.
Yep.
And yep. I get it. Tori has ripped her up. She's destroyed her. She wants to get revenge, but, you know, don't ruin the girl's job while she's trying to tell a story to kids. Like, she's telling a story to children at a birthday party. Leave her be. Fuck with her after the party. That bothered me.
Yeah, I agree with that one as well. I mean, Tori, for her faults, yeah, she did try to maim Sam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So we left it on, quote unquote, a cliffhanger of Kreese and Silver walking into the backyard of Miyagi-Do to talk, air quotes. Like, what do you think? Do you think that Silver is going to have a nice proposition? Do you think that he's going to try to take the high road out of this? Or do you think that it's going to be Cobra Kai lives forever?
No, I think he's going to try to make Cobra Kai better and take the high road from it.
And Kreese isn't going to like that.
Correct. I think it's going to cause tension between the two of them because John Kreese is just a piece of shit and non-redeemable character. Just like in this episode, he's just like, why don't you let it go? It's about the kids and making Cobra Kai the premier dojo. And he's like, because he embarrassed me. That old man embarrassed me. And it cuts to, like, he beat up my students and he made Johnny Lawrence, my greatest, you know, student of all time, doubt himself and this and that. Mm-hmm. And Silver's like, we're the old men now. We should take what we learned, you know what I mean, and use that to make this place a better place. So, no, I think Silver wants to make it a better place. I think Kreese doesn't. I think Daniel's still going to have some PTSDs from his time with Silver, so he's not going to trust him and this and that and all this other horse shit. But I think probably by the end of the season series, he will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's just going to come down to the All Valley Karate Tournament, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, we've done 4 episodes so far. There's 6 more this season, so it'll be interesting.
So let's see here. We did not have a rookie.
We did not.
We got one there now because it's Monday night, so there's one on last night.
Yep. So,
let's see.
This is Us and Book of Boba Fett.
Well, I'll say This is Us. What'd you think of this episode?
This episode is called Forefathers. And in traditional This is Us fashion, we find out that the grill that grown-up Jack is cooking on has something to do with his parents' marriage literally exploding.
Yeah.
And it was a very traumatic thing. He's got a scar from it.
Yep. And the day his parents' marriage blew up.
Yep. And so don't know if they divorced after that, if Toby is still alive. In the beginning, it made it sound like this was like Toby had a heart attack again or that he was gone. But then at the end, when his wife is like, you know, your parents' marriage literally exploded. And he's like, well, I like the flavor.
But like, you know, Kate, we've seen, I had actually forgotten about this. Kate, my Kate is the one that actually said, well, didn't she marry? Oh, he's still around. I thought she married somebody else. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. But that was a flash forward that hasn't happened yet. And she was just like, oh, okay. I forgot that. I just completely forgot that, you know, Kate did marry somebody else. I knew that Kate and Toby weren't together, but I actually had forgotten that. So the four fathers in this are Toby.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yep.
Jack and Randall.
Yes. And technically it could have been five fathers because future Jack, his wife is very pregnant.
True, true, true.
So, but anyway.
So we've already told Toby's story.
Well, kind of. I mean, basically he came back for his weekend with the kids and botched it because he thought he knew better and didn't put them down for a nap. And he's trying to
play with the son. Yeah.
Yeah. He's trying to buy his way into their lives, you know, make up for the fact that he's not around with gifts and such.
Well, he just feels guilty, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were supposed to go to the school recital, but because Toby doesn't put Jack down for a nap, and then the babysitter shows up, and Toby's like, you can handle this, right? And the baby's like, yeah, they're usually asleep when I get here. So Kate goes alone. And then Philip, the British guy she eventually marries, you know, he gives her some sort of weird backhanded advice that while she's complaining about the marriage because, well, that's a good sign because you still care enough to complain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not really good advice because like,
yeah,
but whatever. Kevin's for dad story is basically he feels like he's missing out on his kids' lives because he doesn't live with them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't live with them. And he's trying to force himself to live with them. Even after like a Manny table read, where he's kind of stuck there because as he is the father of the Manny now, he has twins. And so it's making him think of his twins and, you know, Madison, sends him a video of their daughter walking. But like you can clearly tell it's daytime in the video and it's now nighttime when he gets it. So it's not like she sent it straight away.
Right.
Yeah. And so he races right over to see the kids and she's like, yeah, no, they're in bed. It's nighttime. It's their bedtime. I'm not going to wake them up. And basically she's like, look, like it's not going to be the way you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin's like kind of accepted it at the end that it's not going to be the way he wants it to be. And he just needs to accept it.
Kind of
move on, but
like at the end of the last episode, you know, the one before this, it was the same thing where he kind of accepted that she was going to be dating and he had to move on.
There's still a lot of things to accept. I mean, I went through a very similar scenario, so I kind of get it when it comes to not living in the same house as your kids and, you know, people moving on before you move on and you kind of accept things one step at a time. So it takes time. So I can sympathize with what he's going through.
Right. Okay.
Jack's dad role is he takes the kids to see their first movie and he falls asleep because he's working so much.
I believe it was an American Tale.
Yes, it was indeed.
Okay.
And Kevin wanders off and Jack can't find him, and then he finally finds him, but mall security's already called the wife because he's got the kid's phone. She wrote the kid's phone number in on the shoe, and he can't believe this happened, and on and on and on and on and on. And Rebecca makes a good point of saying, like, you can't force a happy memory on your children.
Mm-hmm.
you know, most all the things that they will remember is something that naturally happens. And I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she talked about the bad day when she took them to the park and all the things went wrong. But what they remembered was da-da-da-da-da, the good stuff, you know, that happened just because they were doing their normal thing.
Yeah. And then Randall's story of the day is he's taking Deja driving, and he's super excited to take Deja driving. And then while they're driving, she gets a text message from her boyfriend, and Malik basically says that, "Oh, hey, I'm so happy to see you. My bed's so empty without you." And Randall is not impressed.
No, so, I got that impression as well.
Yeah, yeah. So he's all upset because Deja lied. She went where she went multiple states away to spend the weekend with her boyfriend, and da 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 da. And Beth is, I couldn't tell if Beth was seriously angry or sarcastically angry. Brando was clearly angry, and she goes, I do like the line where she says, "Only one of us can blow up. The other one needs to be cool and calm. So who's going to blow up?" He's like, "I'm already blown up," or something.
"I'm already pacing here." And she's like, "Okay, I'll be cool, calm, and collected."
Yeah, I actually did find that interaction to be hilarious. "I'm going to go for a run." And he does. And then Beth goes and talks to her and this and that and everything. And it's just this acceptance from Randall of like, "You're my daughter. You're all grown up. But I missed the first 12 years of your life. So when I look at you, I don't think of you as being this adult, this woman." Da 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 da. And Beth had already told Randall we're going to take her to get birth control and blah, blah, blah. Because that's what's going to happen. And Beth was even like, "And we can't deny her access to Malik because she's just going to do it anyways. That's the level of love she is in and this and that." But Randall's still like, after he says like just amazing, like, heartfelt thing to her, he closes it with, "You're not gonna be seeing Malik for a long time."
Mm-hmm.
And Deja's like, "Well, I guess we got a problem then."
You know why?
Because she's pregnant, probably.
Of course, because that's what these people love to do in storytelling on TV.
You know what? I actually hope they don't do this to her. I hope they don't do that to her. Here's the other takeaway.
I promise you, they will.
Deja's the adopted daughter, but basically has now become the de facto daughter that matters. And the other two, they're just there when they need them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it? Like, we had a little bit there with, like, Annie's just disappeared. We had a little bit with, what's her name there?
That was last season when she was, when she came out and she had a girlfriend that went by they, them. Pronouns. Yep. You know what my 12-year-old told me the other day?
No, I wasn't there.
12-year-old told me, like, she, I don't know how this came up, and it wasn't like I directly asked her, but like through just weird natural progression of conversation, my 12-year-old said, "I have no interest being in a relationship with anyone at any point in my life. In fact, I'm going to be that single person that just has cats." And I'm like, that's not a goal most people strive for, honey. But all right, well, we'll see what happens as you get older.
Yeah, let's see how that plays out.
And I remember Kate had the talk with her and explained how the birds and the bees work. And her response was, "That is disgusting. Why would anyone do that?" And I was like, "That's right, honey."
Thanks.
Yeah. Kate was laughing. She's like, "She told me that was disgusting. Why would anyone do that?" I'm like, "Really?" "Yes." She thought it was gross. Yep.
Outstanding.
So, yeah, I know. We'll see what happens there. All in all, I did like the episode. I think I'm more attached to the season because we're going to finally get all our questions answered.
Yes.
And that's, I think, is the most appealing part of it.
Oh, that was another thing. Kevin, in the end, remember he got hit on by that little 23-year-old co-star of his?
Yes.
And in the end, he went to call someone, and it was, I want to say Madison, but that's not her name.
No, it's not. I know you're talking. Casey? Yeah. No, not Casey. That's a guy.
It's Jennifer Morrison's character.
Yes, yes.
The one who was Nikki's sponsor. And
yep.
Yeah, he calls her up, and he's like, yeah, I wanted to talk to somebody who would be on my wavelength. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, we do know that he's married.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of this. And we don't know who it is, though. And we all thought it was going to be Madison, but I guess it's not. But you never know. It still could be.
Well, at one point, we all thought it was going to be Sophie, too. So.
Yeah, I guess we will see what happens.
We sure will.
Mm-hmm.
Does that only leave us with the Book of Boba Fett?
I think that really does just leave us with the Book of Boba Fett that we watched together.
No, we didn't.
I watched another new show.
Oh, okay. Well,
that we both watched.
Oh,
I watched
okay.
another new show.
What's that?
It was on Netflix, and it was one of those, like, I turned it on. It's like, you might like this. Here, let's play the trailer for you instantly.
And was it the actual trailer, or was it the beginning of the first episode? Sometimes
it was a trailer, actually. Yes, okay. I know what you mean. It was a trailer. Okay. Archive 81?
You talked about this last week.
Okay. All right. So, still like
still
it.
Still enjoying it? Okay.
Yeah, good. I am. I still am enjoying it. It looks I've watched two episodes now. There's only eight. I'm still enjoying it. It still looks really good.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing kind of what happens with it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. It keeps popping up for me as well. And I feel like one of these times I might actually watch it, but
yeah. Well, I mean, someone else had said that it looked like I've had other people say how much they like it. So.
Nice.
And this is, you know, it's based on a podcast, not a book. So.
Boy, what an age we live in.
Yep.
A TV series based on a podcast.
Yeah, kind of weird, right?
I like it.
So anyways, Book of the Boba Fett.
I've heard of that show.
Chapter 4, The Gathering Storm. What did you think?
We got a nice bit of backstory in here of how he found Fennec. I mean, we had seen the other end of this in The Mandalorian.
Yes.
You know, we saw the figure show up and kind of be there with her as she was laying there dead or dying. So now we got to see the rest of what happened and the chop dock that he took her to and, you know, basically how he got her to work with him.
Well, yeah, she saved her life and then she paid back the debt and then decided she was going to stick around.
Now, here's something that bothered me. They went back to, so he crawled out of the Sarlacc with his armor on. The Jawas came and took the armor from him.
Yeah.
So the first thing he does is say, I'm going to go get my ship back. It's parked at Jabba's palace. Like, that wouldn't have been scrapped. I mean, it's been long enough that, yeah, it's been a couple of years. That either would have been scrapped or somebody else would have taken it. Like, Jabba's not going to be like, yeah, well, let's just hold that in one of our good hangars.
But Jabba's dead by then.
Yeah, so Bib Fortuna would have sold it off. I mean, somebody would have gotten rid of it.
Yes.
And so they get the ship back with no problem whatsoever, and they fly out to the Sarlacc because he says, that's where my armor will be. Well, no, you literally climbed out with it on. Like, we all saw it.
Maybe he doesn't remember.
Maybe, but, I mean, he crawled, it was on him. He has no reason to think that it would be there. I feel like they just wanted to, like, have a cool scene with the Sarlacc trying to drag Slave One into the pit.
Probably.
Sorry, his modified fire spray. They're not going to call it Slave One anymore, and I get that.
Are they not?
Nope.
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. They did the same thing with computer disk arrays. You know, it used to be that you had your primary hard drive was called the master and the backup drives were called slaves. And
oh, that's right.
I don't know how that ever seemed kosher to people. Like somewhere along the line, somebody went, guys, this isn't fucking cool. And we all kind of went, yeah, you're right. It's not. So, but anyway, I digress. So yeah, we got a good little backstory there. Stupid detour, I think. I don't know what they were thinking, having him go out there and try to drive his spaceship down into the maw. I mean, yes, now the Sarlacc is dead. He shot it up, killed it, climbed down in, couldn't find his armor. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it'd be dissolved by now. And he's like, not Beskar.
Yeah. And then he was all stove up. Well, we got to get this acid off of you. You need a Bacta tank.
Mm-hmm. And which is where the Bacta tank comes into.
And then by the end of this episode, though, it's like, congratulations, you're fully healed. On yeah. the outside, what about the scars on the inside? Blah, blah, blah. Mm. But it looks like we may not get any more Bacta tank flashbacks.
Yep.
Which I'm okay with, quite frankly, because at this point, we really need to progress the story. I think we've covered all the backstory we need to cover. You know, we've covered him climbing out of the Sarlacc, what happened to his armor, how he lost it, how I can think. It's not Iron Maidens. Jeez, I'm Crow Mike. Help me out. Sand people.
Oh, the sand people. The Tusken Raiders.
Tusken Raiders. I can think it was Iron Maiden. How the Tusken Raiders kind of took him, you know, made him one of them, and how he trained with them, and then how he, you know, like you said, with this episode, we got how he got Fennec Shand and everything else going on. So I think, in my opinion, we've backstoried enough.
Yeah. There have been a few articles that have come out recently that all say the same thing, which is, okay, Star Wars, enough of Tatooine. Can we please get off Tatooine?
Yeah.
We're tired of seeing stories set on Tatooine. Why is Tatooine the most prolific planet in Star Wars? There are other planets out there. So now he's uniting the crime bosses, the different people who own the different territories, and he brings them all together in some Godfather-like meeting and basically says, we need to fight back against this
the Pikes. Oncoming.
Yeah, the Pikes gang. And they're all like, no. And he goes, okay, I'll do it myself then. Just don't get in my way. And they're like, okay.
We accept this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, that was way too quick for me. Like, he's like, I need you to all work for me. I'm the daimyo. And they're like, no. And he's like, okay then. Well, I'll go do it myself. I expected him to say, like, I'm going to do this myself. And when I do, you will all bow the knee. You will all kiss my feet and, you know, swear allegiance. And instead he's just like, just don't ally with them. What?
Yeah, it did seem a little odd.
And then.
Well, but at the same time, he scared them all with his rancor.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Why should we listen to you? Oh, perfect timing for my rancor to get angry and grab the grate and shake it and then me feed it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, of course, you know, at the end of the episode, he says that, you know, they need a plan. And she's like, what we need is.
Oh, it's wait, something. I'm sorry. Don't forget, he also, once he got Slave One back, he wiped out the biker gang. That massacred the Tusken Raider tribe as well.
Yes.
He just flew over them and just bombed the shit out of them, picked them all off.
Yep. Destroyed them.
Yeah. And he hires Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Which we all saw coming. I love the interaction in the bar where the woman, was it Jennifer Beals? Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get him to chillax.
Yep, and she does a great job, very charismatic, appeals to his rational sense, says she'll wipe out his bar tab, just leave that guy alone, and he's like, fuck it, I'm taking his arm.
Yeah, rips the guy's arm off.
Yep.
And then puts a handful of money in, like, her hand, and she's like, all right, well, I tried.
Yep. And Boba Fett, he's like, yeah, it was a good effort. So yeah, he's now got him on the payroll. He's got his little speeder bike gang of his own. And, you know, Fennec's basically talking to him saying that, you know, what are we going to do? And he says, we need help. And she's like, well, help can be bought. I've got an idea. And then we hear the Mandalorian theme play.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I was about to say. So we know we're going to see Mando.
Yep. Which will be cool.
I'm fine with that.
Yep.
All right. Movies. The one movie I watched that I remembered I watched, we watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Hmm.
The old.
Just Kirk as good Douglas. As you remembered it?
Actually, it really was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Came out. Was it 54, 56? Which is crazy to think.
It was a talkie.
1954. Sorry. And it was in color. Walt Disney. Kirk mm-hmm. Douglas, looking young. My wife's comment about Kirk Douglas was, do you think you could cinch that belt any higher or any tighter?
It was a different time period.
Dude, like, you could tell he was uncomfortable. But yeah, movie was good. I liked nice. It quite a bit.
Nice.
Yeah. What'd you watch for a movie?
The one movie that I watched was Iron Man 3. We're continuing with the Marvel movies. Unfortunately, I was mistaken. Thor the Dark World was supposed to come before Iron Man 3, so we've got to catch up. But we did the math on it, and I was like, we have 15 movies to watch before the end of February when No Way Home comes out. So yeah. We're planning, instead of doing this one a week, we're going to do a marathon or two.
Oh, well, no, you can't do one a week. You got to do a couple a week.
Yeah. So we're going to be blasting through. Hopefully this weekend we'll do a marathon of a few of them and, you know, really get, because we're coming up into some good stuff. If we can get through the Dark World, next up is Winter Soldier. Yeah.
Oh, both
Guardians
movie.
Of the Galaxy and then Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's things decent. Start really opening up. Then Ant-Man. Ooh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you got to get through stuff. Dark World. I haven't even gone back and watched Dark World yet. I struggle.
I got to say, Iron Man 3, I famously hated, and I had a lot of reasons for hating it. You know, I didn't like the fact that they basically bastardized Demon in a Bottle. You know, this was supposed to be the story of Tony Stark's alcoholism and his descent into madness, and they bastardized it because it was a Disney property and they were trying to make it more family-friendly. I didn't like the fact that Jon Favreau was removed from directing and Shane Black came in and turned it into an action fest with, you know, fucking kick-ass rock music at the end. I didn't like the fact that Extremis was, instead of a technovirus that was a result of a super soldier formula, it was a botany experiment that gave Guy Pearce the ability to breathe fire. As other people regenerated and turned into living bombs. I didn't like the PTSD story with Tony, which actually, now that I've watched it again, I'm okay with. I get it. So there were a lot of things that I didn't like about it. This time watching it, it wasn't as bad. I liked it more. There was still some major issues. There's still a lot of flaws in it. The biggest one, of course, being Shane Black. Glad he never came back. But I had to look it up because I wanted to double check. Yep. Happy was supposed to die in that movie, like in the explosion there when he famously like lays down and points over at the dog tags and kind of and then he ends up in a coma. He was supposed to be dead. And basically Jon Favreau was like, I'm not done. I'm not done with the Marvel movies. I'm not done with this. And Kevin Feige's like, OK, we'll keep you on then. So that's cool. I'm glad they didn't get to kill off Happy Hogan because fuck Shane Black.
I did not know they were supposed to kill him off in that. Interesting.
Yep.
I remember that they were going to kill Duke in G.I. Joe the movie, the cartoon. There was such backlash over the death of Optimus Prime in Transformers the movie. They just had him go into a coma. And then just did the dub over at the end of Duke's going to be okay. Yeah. So,
yeah, that was probably a good idea on their part.
Yeah. You know, it's a good Marvel movie.
What's that?
Ragnarok.
Mm.
That's so frigging good.
I cannot wait.
I remember us going to the theater and see that after the training class. Like, we went to like a 4 o'clock one or something when the training class got out early.
Yep.
And having to like cover our ears and close our eyes because they're showing a Star Wars trailer.
Uh-huh. We didn't want to see that.
Didn't want to see that. And the only other person in the theater was like, it's done. But yeah, no, that was a very solid movie.
Absolutely.
So, news and trailers, I guess that's where we're at.
Yep. Share the trailer for Moon Knight.
Well, sorry. A couple of people died.
Yep. You are correct.
We had, and this kind of works into the Moon Knight thing, I guess. But we got the trailer for Moon Knight. What'd you think of Moon Knight?
I thought we didn't get enough. I didn't know a lot about Moon Knight. As I read up more on it, it's very interesting. It's kind of Fight Club, you know, where he's a guy who has a sleep disorder and he doesn't sleep at night. So he has manifested multiple personalities out of this.
And he doesn't know if he's awake or dreaming.
Yep. And one of the personalities is apparently missing in the trailer. So they're wondering where that is. But anyway.
But one of the lead characters in the show, not Moon Knight, if you will, but one of the lead bad guys, tragically died. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. Tragically died in a skiing accident.
Mm-hmm. And it was like he went to the hospital and died afterwards of the complications.
Yes.
It wasn't an immediate like, oh, he hit a tree and died.
Yeah. Gaspar Ulili or whatever. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever, but I just, yeah. Now, my question is this, where Moon Knight hasn't come out yet, do you think they will take his character out of the show, replace him with somebody else if the character lives to two of the next season, or if his character is killed off and they have no intention of bringing him back, they're just going to leave? You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious what Marvel's going to do.
I would say either way. They probably won't bring the character back, and that's not me being crass. That's looking at what happened with Chadwick Boseman. You know, they said that they're not going to recast Black Panther.
Yes, but what if Chadwick Boseman had died before the movie came out?
Then they'd probably have a posthumous, like, you know, in loving memory of Chadwick and still have the movie come out, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, before he made his initial appearance, like before he like he's filmed his movies, because he didn't make his first appearance in Black Panther, obviously. He made his first appearance in
Civil War.
So if he had died before Civil War comes out, wait, are they refilming those scenes?
Or was it Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier, I think. No, Civil War.
Okay.
Because that was it was Civil War. Are they refilming his scenes with a different actor without the mask on?
I don't know. It also depends on if this character is that pivotal to the story, I would say.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm just curious, you know, with technology, with the way things are done nowadays, you know, I guess it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I guess they could go either way. You know, we might see a notification saying they're going to reshoot all the scenes that he was in, or they might say, well, you know, his character died at the end, so we're going to leave it like that.
Yep.
I don't know. So you said a couple people died.
Yeah, we also lost Meatloaf.
Yep.
His
name is Robert Paulson.
Yeah, so he was in a bunch of the movies, but the one that stands out the most is Fight Club.
Yep.
He died from complications of COVID.
Yes, he did.
And he was against mask mandates and vaccine. I'll just leave it at that. Louis Anderson, the same day, Louis Anderson died from cancer.
That's rough.
What is your favorite Louis Anderson property?
I'm not going to say Family Feud because. No.
For me, it was Life with Louie, his cartoon. I loved that show.
Oh, the one where he was a little kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
He did the voice of it. I thought that was fantastic. Like, he did the voice, and he was supposed to be playing himself or whatever, but I thought that was great. Life with Louie, thought it was a fun cartoon. It was unique that it debuted with, like, a Christmas special before the series kicked out, kind of like The Simpsons, apparently. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that old cartoon, Life with Louie. I thought that was pretty damn solid.
I know it wasn't his property to speak of, but I'll always go back to Coming to America.
Oh, he was excellent in that.
Yep. Behind the counter at McDowell's.
Yep.
Loved it.
Yep. So, I can't remember if he made an appearance in the sequel.
I can't remember either.
Yeah.
I cared that little about the sequel.
Yeah, that just wasn't great.
No.
And it was PG-13, so like, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, so we had some more news and trailers.
Yep. Like we said, we had the Moon Knight one. Daniel Radcliffe is going to be playing Weird Al Yankovic in a Roku mockumentary.
Biopic, yeah.
Yep. I'm all for it.
I am as well. Weird Al is all for it.
Absolutely. And it's something about Weird Al, so yeah, I'm good.
Yep. It was funny. He goes like, I made a vow to my fans when UHF came out that every 33 years I'd make a film. You know, like,
love it. I sent you a trailer for The Boys Presents Diabolical.
Yeah, that looks, I mean, the trailer is very short. It's basically about that's a baby that has laser vision that hiccups and kills a bunch of people by lasering their faces off.
Yep. Animation style akin to like Ren and Stimpy.
Yes. Yep. I'd say so. I'd say that. Yep.
And it's basically a spinoff of The Boys. Deals with villains and such. So I'll check it out.
I'll check it out. Yeah. It's a violent cartoon. I'll check it out. You sent me the trailer for Our Flag Means Death.
Yes.
It's Riz Darby and Taika Waititi. I'm just going to watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you sent me before that The King's Man is going to be debuting on Hulu on February 18th.
That was a surprise.
Yeah. It's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that was just... And I'm surprised Hulu, of all places.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think like an HBO or something.
I mean, it's still at our local theater. It's still at Regal Augusta. Regal at Augusta right now. This is the third Kingsman movie, is it not?
Correct, but it's a prequel to the other two.
Right. So, but that just deals with
the founding of the organization. Yeah.
That just hit theaters worldwide December 22nd. And the fact that it's going to Hulu, not HBO Max or Showtime or Star, you know what I mean? Any of the normal ones, or even Netflix or Amazon Prime, it's going to Hulu. That's surprising.
Well, you could say that, but don't forget that Disney owns Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
So there is some clout behind them.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense now. Yeah, I forgot I'd sent you that little tidbit.
Yeah.
Zach
Levi talking about a Chuck movie.
Yep. It's just basically like, yep, close to happening. Whatever, I'll take his tease.
Yeah, he says that he's been trying to get it made since the show was still on the air. So, yeah, take it with a grain of salt.
I'll still take the tease.
Interesting trailer for season 2 of Upload, which was basically just a recap of season 1.
That's literally, I mean, when you send it to me, it's titled Upload Season 1 Recap. I'm like, oh, okay, there's a new season coming in March.
You know,
they definitely recapped it well.
I was going to say, honestly, I'm all for that. Like, I think that that's a perfect trailer for a second season of something. Show us what happened in the first season. Remind us and let that be it. Tell us that the second season's coming. Great.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with that. So. Let's see what else.
You sent me a news article about Godzilla.
Yes. Godzilla TV show coming, set in the MonsterVerse. Be a live action TV show. I was very surprised to read that. It's going to be an Apple Plus.
Which they do great stuff anyway, so.
But what's surprising to me is like Godzilla premiered on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a Warner Brothers whatever property. But yet it's going to be, this is an Apple Plus show.
Right.
So
I wonder how they got around those rights.
We shall see.
Did you end up watching the trailer for Fistful of Vengeance?
Dude, that was so fucking great.
You were like, it's Iko Uwe, so I'm here for it. I'm like,
yeah,
wait till he sees who else is in there.
Yeah, no, this looks awesome. Yeah,
Supernatural, I mean, Kung Fu.
Yeah, it starts out a little slow, picks up super duper fast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm 1,000% good with this. I'm very excited to see this coming to Netflix. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Also, very interesting. They're doing a direct sequel to A Christmas Story with the original star, Peter Billingsley.
Peter Billingsley, yeah, who played... sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, who played Ralphie.
Played Ralphie.
And now he's going to be the dad in the 70s who wants to give his kids a magical Christmas like what he had when he was a kid. I'm sold.
Yeah, well, anything's better than the Christmas Story 2 that we got.
Yes.
With Daniel Stern playing the old man. That movie was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. We deserve much better than that.
You sent me the trailer for the Peacock original Joe vs. Carol. Why? Why are we getting this?
I don't know why we're getting this. And the worst part is like I saw that Kate McKinnon was playing Carol Baskins, and I was like, oh, so this is going to be a pure comedy. No, this is meant to be dramatic, like a dramatic retelling of the feud between them.
Yep.
I'm like, why? We already saw Tiger King.
Some people watch Tiger King too.
I did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'll be – I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to watch this or not. I don't know how I feel about it. But we'll see. We'll see.
I sent you the trailer for the show that I talked about last week, Murderville.
It sounded better than it looked.
Oh, I think it looks great. I think it's going to be ridiculous and dumb, and I'm there for it.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. I actually watched it with Kate, and I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this.
It seems like the whole purpose behind it, I mean, yes, they're supposed to solve a mystery, but it seems like the whole purpose is just to completely fuck with the guest star.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it seems it is.
Like an improv gone wrong.
Yep. Yeah. I sent you the trailer for The Endgame. What'd you think of that?
I didn't like it. Because it felt too NBC. Like, I know it's on NBC, but it felt too NBC, you know? There's these people who are robbing banks, and, you know, they're going to bring in the one woman who knows all about them, who has 110 federal charges against her, and she's like the queen of crime, and she's so good that she put something in your pocket without you even knowing, and it's too over the top, it's too much, I don't like it.
So, IMDb's little sentence right up about it is a sexy and twisted show on how far some people go for love, justice, and the most valuable commodity in the world. Truth.
Diamonds? Oh.
Truth. Come on now.
It's got Marina Baccarin, so I should love it.
Yeah.
But it's also got Marina Baccarin doing a bad Russian accent.
Yeah, she could have just done like her normal talking voice.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
Frankly.
The only other one that I had, well, two other things that I had that I didn't send to you. Apparently, the creators of King of the Hill announced that they're reviving the show.
Yes, I've seen some very excited people talking about that.
And this is it's good, but it's also disappointing. Star Trek Discovery, Lower Decks, and Strange New Worlds all got renewed for another season before any of their current seasons come out. Doesn't mention Picard.
Star Trek Discovery, Lower Decks, and Strange New World. Well, Lower Decks, yeah. I mean, the second season came out already.
Okay. Oh, I'm reading further, and it says Picard had to temporarily halt production on season 3 due to a COVID outbreak on set. So okay. They're already working on third. Okay, I feel better now.
I did subscribe to Paramount Plus. You couldn't get the 37% off deal with the Showtime package. That was not allowed.
Oh, that's
so bad. It was just Paramount Plus, but it was only like $70 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said F it and I subscribed for a year. And I did watch the first two episodes of Lower Decks.
And, what'd you think?
That's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be serious. Something I'm in the mood for.
Yeah, it gets more serious. It's always a comedy, but they actually have like some serious beats to it. So,
yeah, but I am excited to check out the new season of Discovery. I have not watched that yet. So,
yeah.
And that's all on there, I believe.
Yep. I believe you are correct, sir.
You know, I really haven't heard a lot about it. Like, I haven't seen a lot of people all super excited about it.
Well, when you say the most recent season, that hasn't come out yet.
No, it started November 18th.
Discovery?
Yeah, they aired the first 7 episodes from November 18th through December 30th.
Oh, okay.
And it's on hiatus now, and it comes back February 10th.
Gotcha. I knew it was coming up here that they had more episodes. But
yeah, it comes back February 10th, but I have not heard a lot of people talking about
that. No, I haven't either.
Half of the season. So,
Interesting.
Yep.
I think that's about it for me. How about for you?
Yep, that's everything for me.
Cool.
I'm on the Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek G33K.
That is our show.
We'll talk to you next week.